Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So Dan Quinn yesterday held the day after game press conference, and it was a positive one because they played so well Sunday, beating the Raiders. And there were, you know, there were changes going into that game. There were offensive line changes. You know, Allegretti sat. Coleman was inactive. You had Chris Paul play as a starter. And you had Andrew Wiley back in the starting lineup at guard next to Josh Connerly. It was the first game in which, you know, it was true running back by committee, because it was the first game that Chris Rodriguez was actually active for. They didn't really try to run the football against Green Bay following Eckler. Well, Eckler left the game late, but with Eckler out and this being the first game without Eckler, how were they going to handle the running back situation? There's a lot that was different. You know, they didn't have Bates. How are they going to account for, you know, being without one of the best blocking tight ends in the league? Well, we saw they went, you know, at times with a sixth offensive lineman in Trent Scott, but Ben Sinnott was in there, and you'll hear what Quinn said about him. But I wanted to start with the running back situation, because it was truly a by-committee approach. I personally don't have any issue with that. I don't know if you don't have Derrick Henry, who now is a fumbler, by the way, Saquon Barkley, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, Bijan Robinson, Christian McKay. If you don't have that, you know, why not by committee until somebody takes it by, you know, the neck and says, this is my job? And no one's really done that yet. I thought Bill looked good in week one. That's fine. But this is what Quinn said about the, you know, the lack of a bell cow back, so to speak, versus running back by committee.
I'm comfortable with the shared balance is what's important to me. You know, if there's runners that have unique skills and how to feature ones, we can do that. But having balance, that's what makes an offense most difficult to defend when it's not just all of one or all of the other, but having the balance to do both. So in all things, sometimes it works itself out after a little bit of time, but going into it, Howard, I'm there. Whether it stays that way, we'll just keep digging and find our way. But I am comfortable sharing the responsibility, and let's see what the game presents, you know, coming up. And sometimes a guy gets hot and feels it, and we'll lean into that too.
Wouldn't it be interesting if the guy that ended up getting hot and staying hot and they could ride a little bit more and turn it away from by committee was Jeremy McNichols? I don't personally see that happening. That was one hell of a run. And every opportunity McNichols has had running the football for this team, he has delivered. If you go back to, and I know that some of the circumstances around some of these good performances were late in games that were blowouts. You know, he got his first opportunity against Arizona last year. They were blowing the Cardinals out. And he came in at the end of the game, 8 carries, 68 yards, 8.5 yards per carry, two touchdowns. And then in the following week, when they were blowing out Cleveland late in the game, 7 carries, 44 yards, 6.3 yards per carry. In a two-week period, he went 15 for 112 and three touchdowns. Late in the game, you know, blowout. He had runs of 27 yards and 28 yards. Then at the end of the Carolina game, he was in there, 7 carries, 42 yards, 6 yards per carry. You know, not every back that's, you know, way down the depth chart, but active, that gets into the game late in a blowout, averages 7.5 yards per carry, you know. But that's what he did during those first three opportunities. Had an opportunity for a bunch of carries in the Tennessee game late in the year. 5.3 yards per carry. And here he comes in on Sunday for his first extensive, you know, work. He got some carries against the Giants, by the way, four for 25, 6.3 yards per carry. And he went 4 for 78. I thought it was 4 for 68 on Sunday, but it says now 4 for 78. That must have been updated somehow. He's got 8 carries for 103 yards. He's averaging 12.9 yards per carry. Is there any chance that Jeremy McNichols, they love him. They love everything about him. They love the person. They love the work ethic. They love the intelligence. They love the willingness to go beyond the job description. He's a special teams player. He's fine with whatever role they give him. He's prepared when they give it to him. We're going to see him fill the Eckler third down role. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But what if the guy that emerged from the pack and ended up getting the most carries was McNichols? Jeremy McNichols, when he got here in 2024, was viewed by everybody as just a guy. His season of any sort of significant contribution, both of those years were in Tennessee, where in 2020 he had 47 carries for 204 yards, and then in 2021, 41 carries for 156 yards. He also had 28 receptions in 2021 for the Titans for 240 yards. He really has never gotten the opportunity for meaningful carries for a long stretch. Maybe that's not who he is, and maybe if we saw in that role, he wouldn't be as effective as he is. You know, a lot of these have been end of game, end of a blowout game situations. But he looked really good the other day. But can you imagine if he was the one? Maybe they're back there saying, we like Bill, you know, we like Rodriguez, but McNichols is the one that we can count on the most in every situation. He's going to get opportunities on first down. He's not just going to be in there in the Eckler third down role, because Eckler got opportunities on first down. Rodriguez, man, I like him. I've liked him since the moment we saw him as a runner. Clearly, the opportunities that he didn't get before this year were about what he talked about during training camp, you know, kind of conditioning. Because he said, I'm in the best shape of my life. And I think that was always the issue with Rodriguez. They felt like his, you know, he needed to be in better shape. He's a big dude, you know. I mean, Chris Rodriguez is, you know, 225, 230 pounds. But I love his vision. I love his power. I like Rodriguez. I like Bill. Bill can see it, man. He's got vision. He's got quick feet. You know, clearly they're not right now comfortable with him in there as pass pro, you know, in pass pro situations. But, yeah. So there was something else that Quinn was asked about as it relates to the running game. He talked about, you know, we know they didn't run the ball against the Packers, and they ran the ball, and they came out with the idea. Rodriguez got the start, no question, in my opinion, because they wanted to be physical and set the tone from the jump. Six offensive linemen, their biggest, most physical back in the backfield, and they ran it down the Raiders' throat. 25 yards to get to the third and goal, and then Mariota made a really nice playoff schedule to score. But this was Dan Quinn talking about just the run game being an extension of the culture.
It does. And it's also, there's like the scheme part of it too, Scott. Like, if the run game's going better, now the play pass is going better. because the times that you're going to go step up and get in on the run, then you have the chance to, you know, throw one big or a deep shot to go. Those are ones that you want to take your shot down the field to Terry. You want to take your shot across the middle to Debo because of the linebackers or a safety. Like, man, I want to go get a part of this. It does add a lot to your team because when you have to go, you know, finish a drive, finish one, Scott, that's where you have to lean in on that. It was good to see yesterday a third down conversion, you know, saw it from J-Mac, saw it from Bill. Now the drive continues and you have a little bit more flexibility because you're willing to show you're in all the spaces to run it. As you get closer to the goal line, that's another area sometimes that you may lean in more. It's difficult. Obviously, you don't have as much field to defend. It's more lateral, so you have to win inside. Some people, like you've heard the word, like phone booth runs, man, like when you got to go get downhill right now. And that's how we had scored on one yesterday. But it does all tie together. It adds to the toughness of the team, but you just got to stay committed to it. It takes work to get better. And by no means are we – you know, where we were going to be. We got a lot of work to do, but it's a really important piece of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, 32 carries. You take Mariota's out. You had 26 by running backs, and you only had 21 total pass attempts. I'm trying to think if with penalties there were more called pass plays. I think he did scramble on a few of them, so there were more, probably 23 called pass plays, 24, but still more called run plays. And he is right, man. We as NFL fans know this. There are some teams that scheme it up so well that you can play on schedule and be effective in the red zone. But the two ways typically you score touchdowns in the red zone is you're able to run the football when they know you're going to run it, or you've got a quarterback that's able to extend to give receivers on a very condensed field more time to get open, more time for, you know, coverage to make a mistake and to break down. But I'm fine with what they have right now. I don't know how you guys feel. If one doesn't emerge as sort of a bell cow, that's fine. I think all three of them, you know, they're different, right? I mean, Rodriguez is more power. He's got the potential for big play, but not like Kroski Merritt. McNichols proved that he had some big play potential. Now, he had to break four or five tackles to get there, but then he didn't get caught in the open field. He's clearly the guy that they're going to feel more comfortable with, you know, on passing downs, not necessarily just because he'd be a good receiver, but they'll trust him more, you know, as a veteran player in pass protection. Yeah, and let's not forget Debo. You know, Debo's a part of that mix as well, but much more as, you know, they tried that wildcat play. Love that. Off the tempo, they'll run him on reverses, but they had him lined up in the backfield as well. I mentioned Connerly. You know, Connerly has struggled in the first two games. Max Crosby was one of the defensive linemen across from him on Sunday. How did he do? Here was Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I thought it was a good day. Of the three games, I thought it was his best one. I thought this one and the Giants one were his two best DA to go through it. You see the movements also. The guy can pull, he can get on, you know, like sometimes you can just say just in one phase. But he's had a hell of a matchup, you know, for his first three games to go into it. And sometimes you go and you learn through the fights and where do you grow. And I would say, like, it's cool to see the game that didn't go well a week ago and then grow from it, get the lessons. How do I get better against a fantastic player? Did it all go great? No, but there was a lot to like. And I think that's what you're looking for, you know, as a coach. Are we learning? Are you growing? Or are you stuck in the blender? And so for him, you know, the growth at times is tough and it sucks when you go through it, but there's also when you come through the other way and you gain some confidence too, David, to say, okay, this is, you know, as some of the highest levels that you go to and you grow and you keep digging in.
You know, Max just sent me something. The 33rd team said that the lowest pressure rates allowed by rookie offensive linemen in week three, minimum 15 pass protection snaps. Connerly was number one. 0%, 23 snaps, zero pressures allowed. Was it zero? I guess it was. For whatever reason, I thought that I thought he got beat once or twice, not to the point of being, you know, leading to a sack. Here's the one thing through three games on Connerly. Just one very snap, brief, small, sample-sized snapshot. I'd love to see him more physical and more of a mauler in the run game. That's the one observation so far. That's it. I mean, I think as far as a pass blocker, it is tough to open up your career with Burns, with Carter, with Parsons and Gary, and then, you know, at times it wasn't the whole game with Max Crosby. That is really, you know, a welcome to the NFL start. Yeah. You know, I think it probably helped on Sunday that he had a veteran player. Not that Allegretti's not a veteran. He is. But I think, you know, Wiley understands the position he's playing because Wiley's been a right tackle. So that may have been part of what helped. They're going to keep searching for this right mix along the offensive line. It would be great to find the right mix and have it be consistent. Sam Cosmi will be back at some point. And I would say, you know, in terms of talent, pound for pound, Cosmi is probably their most, well, no, Tunsil is. I'm forgetting Tunsil, clearly. But, you know, with Tunsil and Cosmi, Biotish, and then a talent in the young kid, you know, the future is bright. You know, it'll take some time for it to come together. But he does preach competition, and he backs it up. You know, Brandon Coleman was the starting left tackle for this team for a big part of last year. There was a lot of optimism about Brandon Coleman, and it shouldn't, you know, be it shouldn't be written off because he was inactive, but Brandon Coleman is having one of those opportunities to kind of sit back as a young player and watch and say, all right, where do I have to improve? Plus, let's not forget, he's switching from tackle to guard, so there was some time there. They got to get it right, man, offensive line, because I'm telling you, this NFC and, you know, their schedule in particular, you know, they've already played the Packers. The good news is you've got the Bears and the Cowboys coming up. They're not very good. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Chargers, I think the Falcons are better defensively than the final score indicated on Sunday. Again, that was a bit about the turnovers in terms of the score getting out of control. I mean, it's not like Bryce Young and the Panthers lit the Falcons defense up. They had 224 total yards. That's it. You know, against the Falcons D. Chargers D will be a challenge for sure for Washington's offensive line. The Cowboys twice won't be. The Chiefs will be a challenge. The Seahawks might be a challenge. Looks like they have, and by the way, defensive head coach, they may have a defense. The Lions are healthier on defense. The Broncos are good defensively. The Vikings are good defensively. And of course, the Eagles twice, you know, at the end of the season. So, long way to go before the jury is in, but they got to keep tweaking and they got to figure it out. And it's got to be, you know, up to snuff. You know, they've got to be decent in their ability to, you know, create the opportunity for Kliff to be balanced. One other quick soundbite that I wanted to play for from Quinn yesterday. It was, which one, what was the other one I wanted to play? It was about Sinnott and Yankoff in for Bates. Is that the one that I asked you to play?
That's the one.
All right, play that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's an important part of this. I thought Kliff and the guys did a good job in the design of that phase where John matchups are different. You know, Bates in terms of who he goes to, where he goes to, whether it's big defensive ends or not, where Ben, we're going to use the speed off the ball to try to beat somebody that punch. So it was the most he's played and also the best he's played. And so I thought that was a good sign to see both of those in conjunction to others. You don't know exactly how a game is going to play out. You know, you have what you're going to call, where it is. You may lean into one when it's going stronger than another, and that was the case yesterday where, you know, you're trying to have balance, but when the run game's going, you keep digging in to fight for it more. And it was just good to see him really cut it loose, David. That's what I was most proud of him yesterday, just aggressive, beating somebody to the punch, getting to the next level, different than John. You're right.
Yeah, different from John. Clearly, we kind of got the clue about that in the Green Bay game, but that's really encouraging that Sinnott came in. I mean, they used the second round pick on Ben Sinnott. He came in and he did the job, even though it's a bit different. You're not lining him up against, you know, a 290-pound defensive end and saying you got him one-on-one. It's speed, it's direction, it's influencing the whole thing, and he did a good job. Ironically, he was not even targeted once in the pass game. You know, nor was Yankoff in the game either targeted. And both of them had, let me just see the snap count for both of them in the game. Sinnott was in there for 33 of the 58 offensive snaps. Yankoff in there for 20 of those snaps. By the way, one other quick observation on the snap count. Chris Moore basically was their number three receiver. And I think that there was a belief that that's the way it would be. You know, if you consider, you know, Debo and Terry to be 1-2, you know, Debo's filling a lot of roles. You know, he's not the number two receiver necessarily in alignment on every single snap, whereas Chris Moore is going to, you know, not going to be lined up in the backfield. He's not going to be, I guess he could be used as, you know, a ball carrier. But Chris Moore was in there for 33 offensive snaps. Terry was at 35. Okay, those were the top two wide receivers by snap count. So they clearly, you know, McCaffrey had 21 snaps in the game at wide receiver. Jalen Lane, 14. Jalen Lane has struggled as a receiver, outstanding as a returner here in the first three games. But Chris Moore's a veteran. You know, he's been around. They trust him. And, you know, the idea of what will they do without Noah Brown on Saturday, Chris Moore looks like he's that number two true receiver, Debo, in terms of being the target guy. But yeah, they believe in Chris Moore. He caught two balls for 25 yards in the game on two targets. I mean, Terry was only targeted four times, had three catches, including the big one, and then had, you know, an opportunity for a fourth catch. It was actually kind of a drop, but it was second and 22, and it was a very short contested catch situation. All right, when we come back, Green Bay's loss against the Browns prompted a comment from Micah Parsons, which Matt LaFleur responded to yesterday. We'll talk about that, and we'll go around the league a little bit. It was a wild record-setting day on Sunday. We'll talk more about the rest of the league when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's artificial intelligence, then there's apartmental intelligence. Yep, it's a thing. Apartments.com knows how to find the exact place you have in mind. Want a three-bedroom condo in a walkable downtown? Done. Or that single-family home with a yard and a quiet neighborhood? Easy. With over a million rental listings, plus search tools that make moving simple, their apartmental intelligence can get you a place that gets you. Visit Apartments.com. the place to find a place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just that we come in Monday, fix our mistakes, we walk through it, and then we just come together as a team. Like, it's 18 games. We lost a rough one, one that you could have said we should have won. And you just grow off it. Like, this is the character building. This is the adversity. We have adversity. You know, we backed up in the end zone. We gave up three, but penalty. This is all part of adversity. Undefeated seasons, like, they're hard in the NFL. Like, let's be real. And sometimes, just like today, you the bed. That's just the reality of it. Like, it happens to the best teams. You know what I mean? Even the best Super Bowl champs make mistakes, and they you know, they pay for it early. You know what I mean? You go back to the history of the champions and who they played and games they should have won. It's just part of being natural. It's that competitive. It's that hard to win. Like, it's hard as hell to win football games. So when you win football games, it's a celebration. But when you lose, it sucks.
Micah Parsons, following the loss Sunday, the Green Bay loss to the Cleveland Browns. Undefeated seasons, they're hard. Let's be real. Sometimes, just like today, you S the bed. That's just the reality. It happens to the best teams. Even the best Super Bowl champs make mistakes, and they pay for it. Matt LaFleur was not thrilled with that comment. A lot of fans weren't in Green Bay either. It's like, dude, you've never sniffed the Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Sniffed an undefeated season. What would you know about any of this? Look, Micah Parsons rubbed people the wrong way in Dallas. There was not a lot of tear shedding when they traded him. I still think that that was the biggest reveal, you know, there at the end. He's a great player, though. I mean, he is a game-impacting player. But immature, you know, at this point in his career. There's just some immaturity. This was Matt LaFleur yesterday, you know, not necessarily responding directly to the Parsons comments, but he figured out a way to get it in.
Well, I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that. And you can't take any moment, any game for granted. And the goal, and I've said it a million times to you guys, I don't think I've obviously said it enough to our team, the goal is to go 1-0 every week. And it pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game, things that are way down the road. Like, focus on, keep the focus on the present, on the now, and worry about getting better each and every day.
Yeah, he didn't mention Micah Parsons specifically. He didn't mention Rashid Walker, another player who had mentioned something about going undefeated after they beat Washington on Thursday night. Matt LaFleur, by the way, is a very good NFL coach. Probably very underrated for most NFL fans. But man, nothing kind of speaks to the nature of the NFL being week to week than the Packers losing at Cleveland. And losing a game, by the way, in which they led 10-0 late in the game. I mean, their defense is awesome. We understand that. But so is Cleveland's defense. And then there was a crushing mistake. Up 10-3 very late in the game, Jordan Love made a mistake that you just cannot make. He threw an interception on 3rd and 3 from his own 20-yard line to Grant Delpit and just completely misread the coverage and threw a terrible ball. It got returned to the 4-yard line. The Browns scored, and then they blocked the field goal on block field goal day, Sunday. They blocked a field goal, and then in one of the best executions I have ever seen of clocking the ball after a throw into the field of play with no timeouts left, What Cleveland did, go watch this. It is so well done. 12 seconds to go. They're at the Green Bay 45-yard line. They have no timeouts left. Typically, I remember Brady and the Patriots saying, you need 14 seconds with no timeouts. 14 to throw the ball into the field of play and be able to get up to the line of scrimmage and clock it and still have time left. That play started with 12 seconds. Flacco throws over the middle to Njoku, the tight end. He catches it. He gets tackled. And the precision, the execution, the unbelievable way in which the Browns got aligned, got the referee to tap the ball saying it's in play, to snap it, they still had 2 seconds left. It didn't even come down to 1 second. And then they kicked the game-winning field goal in that game. That's one of those losses where they happen sometimes in the NFL. Green Bay, I don't know if they will rue this loss. Cleveland's given, you know, Cleveland should have beaten Cincinnati in the opener. Absolutely. They were much closer against Baltimore than the final score indicated. The problem is they couldn't really score against Baltimore. But they had a chance, I think it was 20-10 late in the third quarter with the ball, and then the game got out of control in the fourth quarter. But, Sunday was, where is it? So Sunday in the NFL, Seven games featured a final score, game-winning score, in the final 3 minutes of the football game, either regulation or overtime. That is tied for the most in a single NFL weekend since the 1970 merger, according to Elias Sports Bureau. Sunday was one of those days. That 1 o'clock window end, you know, I don't know about you, but when we're up 41-24 and it's over, I got red zone working on the other. And I've also got the ticket. So we were flipping around. I had some people over. The Eagles game had the blocked field goal, followed by the Jets who blocked the field goal, and then the Browns blocked the field goal. It was madness. Then Houston's driving for a game tying score. Just craziness at 1 o'clock. And then in the late window, you had the incredible finish, the Chargers down 20-13. What a throw by Herbert to Keenan Allen. By the way, what an addition bringing Keenan Allen back. Keenan Allen, you know, a veteran 33-year-old receiver who has played his, you know, entire career with the exception of the one season last year in Chicago, already 3 weeks, 19 receptions, 194 yards, and 3 touchdowns for Justin Herbert. He's always been a pro, man. The combination of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen for so long was one of the best pairings of wide receivers in the league, both for Rivers and for Herbert. They just always seem to get hurt. You know, Williams always seemed to get hurt. Keenan Allen got hurt a bunch. But what an addition he has meant. That game was a sick finish. And then you had an incredible finish in San Francisco between the Cardinals and the 49ers. Mac Jones, first of all, they got a huge third down stop. And then Mac Jones, after the 49ers had taken a safety in the fourth quarter, which gave Arizona a 15-13 lead, Mac Jones down two. With no timeout, I think maybe they had one timeout left, or I think they had one timeout left from their own 20, drove them down the field and got them into chip shot field goal range, and their new kicker, Pinheiro, made a 35-yarder at the gun. So Mac Jones is 2-0 for the 49ers, who are 3-0 overall, but once again, man, major injury bug for the 49ers. Nick Bosa, torn ACL. I'll be honest with you, I hate when that happens. I hate when some of the best players in the NFL are lost for the year, because I love watching the league as well. Now, it's better for the other NFC teams that Nick Bosa's not out there. By the way, I was looking at the box score. One other quick thing. Brian Robinson, 2 carries, 22 yards in that game. He had a 19-yard run in that game. But McCaffrey is the bell cow, obviously, for the 49ers. And as long as he's healthy and Trent Williams is healthy, you know, and they're going to get Ayuk back at some point, I believe. Kendrick Bourne, by the way, who considered signing here, but remember after week one signed with the 49ers, actually has 7 catches in 2 games for San Francisco. The 49ers are a tough call right now through 3 games because they barely beat Seattle, barely beat the Saints, and barely beat the Cardinals. They've got Jacksonville this Sunday. I don't know if Purdy's going to be back, but the loss of Bosa is devastating. There were some big injuries across the league. James Conner done for the year in Arizona. He's a spiritual leader on that team as well. CeeDee Lamb, high ankle sprain, 3 to 4 weeks. You know, I'm ruling Dallas out 3 weeks into the season. Their defense is just so god-awful, and there's not like an obvious fix to it. Talent-wise, they can move the football, they can score points, but when you're that bad defensively, and they've given up, you know, they gave up 37, and the biggest day of Russell Wilson's career, pass yardage-wise, Caleb Williams just had arguably the best day of his young career. They play the Packers Sunday night, but I think Dallas and the Giants in the division have no chance. Like, I know it's only 3 weeks, but you're going to get Jackson Dart here shortly. Giants would have been much better off playing Jameis Winston. Is Dart, have they announced it yet? No.
Yeah, no, it just came out like 5 minutes ago. Jackson Dart is the starter in New York.
Yeah, I mean, after that abomination Sunday night, I mean, Russell Wilson borderline looked like he was throwing the game in terms of the cover at the end. I'm being serious, too. I know it. He wasn't. I'm not accusing Russell Wilson of point shaving. But if you didn't know who the quarterback was, it being a 14-15-year veteran in Russell Wilson, and you saw the throws he made when they were going in for the backdoor cover, you would have been suspicious. It was 4 of the worst throws, and then the 4 straight zero-chance throws. They had to look at that end and just say, yeah, we can't put him out there anymore. The way he looked against Washington, the way he looked against Kansas City, and yet there's the Dallas game, you know, in the middle of that, of the two horrendous. That may be it for Russell Wilson, because you're not going to pull Dart. You know, if he gets injured, you might think about Jameis and not going back to Russ. Who's going to give Russ a shot next year?
Cleveland, if nothing works out?
No. If they decide they that a veteran Gabriel. Quarterback is necessary next year for Shadur or for Dylan Gabriel, or if, you know, they could draft somebody again, they would go back to somebody they love personally, and that would be Flacco.
He'd pack his bags and go across town to the New York Jets?
I think there's just a whole lot with Russell Wilson. I know it's not as bad. I think he kind of got that message when he got to Pittsburgh last year, and Tomlin said, entourages, you don't have your own private bathroom, private shower, private locker room. They didn't give him any of those things that really ticked off, you know, Sean Payton in Denver. I just don't think he can play anymore. Like, of course, I said that after the Washington game, and then he had the Dallas game. I can say that now because he's not going to play anymore. But I just don't think that anybody's going to give Russ a shot next year. What's the point? He literally, go watch. This was late night, okay, Sunday night. I'm still involved because I got the Giants. I actually bought the half point. It went to 6.5, bought the half point, had them +7. It's 22-9, and they're first and goal inside the, you know, at like the 5-yard line, something like that. And the next 4 plays are 4 of the most embarrassing throws by a veteran quarterback I've ever seen. The first one went through the tunnel. He got called for grounding. The next 3 sailed completely out of the end zone, nowhere near receivers. He should have been called for grounding on another one. And it looked like he knew that a score would have meant a cover. I mean, I'm again, it's Russell Wilson is not the person that you'd ever accuse of doing that. So I'm not accusing him. I'm just saying if that had been a nameless player, you would have said, whoa, what's going on here? He understands what the number is. You know who's played really well for the Giants? The Arizona State running back.
Cam Scatter. He's a wrecking ball, dude.
Yeah. And he's going to get all the carries now because Tyrone Tracy's out. He's injured. So we get Dart in New York. Who did the Giants play? They played Chargers
this weekend, yeah. Oof. I made the same noise.
Oof. It's so hard, you know, college quarterbacks projecting. I mean, Lane Kiffin is a master, like Kingsbury was in college. He can make almost any quarterback look really good. I know Jackson Dart's got some talent. I watched a lot of Ole Miss games with him last year. And he can make a lot of the plays and a lot of the throws. And there's definitely, you know, a swagger to him. There's no doubt. He also throws it to the wrong team a bunch, or he did at times. Interesting. Yeah, Dable, at this point, there's zero upside in playing Russell Wilson. Now for him and Shane, their only hope is that Jackson Dart looks the part, they develop him, they develop a rapport with him, the Giants become a better team, you know, they go on one of those, you know, winning 5 out of the last 6 or something like that, you know, even though they finish 7-10, if Dable's going to be back. It's their only chance to keep their jobs is to play Jackson Dart and to develop him. Tough spot always for a first-round quarterback to be drafted by a team with a head coach who is essentially borderline hot seat / lame duck. That is always hard. What an NFL weekend, man. Honestly, the league. Oh, Mike Evans was the other big injury I wanted to mention. You know, the Bucs are 3-0, three last-second, last-minute wins. Mike Evans out, you know, 3 to 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. He's had those hamstrings before, if my memory serves me correctly, on Mike Evans, who is still a brilliant receiver. I think one of the stories of the first 3 weeks have been some of the defensive performances. The Packers, the Browns, the 49ers, the Eagles, I guess, to a certain degree. The special teams have been a big part of these games, certainly this past weekend. Indy, I guess, is the biggest surprise. Indy, there are 6 undefeated teams. Buffalo, Indy, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Bucks, and the 49ers. And the biggest surprise by far, Indianapolis. The Colts, by the way, have punted 1 time in the first 3 games. Once. You know who is a sleepy, just out on the periphery MVP candidate right now with another couple of really good games could move himself into the picture? Daniel Jones. Not kidding. They've got the biggest point differential right now, plus 47 after 3 games. They've punted once. That's the first time it's happened, by the way, in the first 3 games of an NFL season since 1940. They got a little bit lucky against Denver. Denver, you know, they missed a field goal, but Denver had the penalty. And they've had the Dolphins and the Titans. They play the Rams this weekend on the road. The Rams coming off that, you know, blown lead in Philadelphia. What's that number? I haven't looked at the numbers yet. I'm going to guess the Rams are at least a 4-point favorite, 3-point favorite, 4. What are they? They are 3.5 at home against the Colts. Colts have a good roster. Man, another good NFL card. We get a doubling game. Vikings Steelers, 1 o'clock. Obviously, our game against Atlanta, but you also have Eagles Bucks at 1 o'clock, and then in the 4 o'clock window, Colts at Rams, Jags at Niners, Ravens Chiefs. Ravens and Chiefs. Somebody's going to come out of that game 1-3. 1-3. I guess they both could come out 1-2-1 if the game ended in a tie. And then we get the Packers and Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. good weekend coming up. All right, we'll finish up with a couple of news and notes from around the sports world, including a very surprising retirement in college basketball. That's next.
All right. It is Tuesday, September 23rd. Here's what's happening. We'll start with Monday Night Football last night, where the Ravens were outmuscled by the Detroit Lions by a score of 38-30. The Lions racked up 7 sacks to the Ravens' 0 and ran for over 220 yards on the ground, including 4 touchdowns from Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. According to Adam Schefter, Diana Rossini, and Ian Rappaport, Jackson Dart has been named the starter going forward for the Giants. He will get his first NFL start this weekend versus the LA Chargers. Russ Wilson expected to back him up as QB2. And 49ers pass rusher Nick Bosa is out for the season with a torn ACL that he suffered on Sunday versus Arizona. To baseball, the Nats, they lose to the Braves by a score of 11-5. Mackenzie Gore got shelled in the first couple innings that he was able to pitch, giving up 4 hits and 4 runs. They will continue their penultimate series versus the Braves this evening. Brad Lord taking the mound versus Hurston Waldrop. First pitch at 7:15. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:45. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ever walked past a place for rent and wish you could just peek inside? Maybe even explore the layout? Envision the natural light streaming through the windows? Or plan where your vinyl record collection would go? At Apartments.com, you can. With tools like their 3D virtual tours, you can see the exact unit you'd be living in. Really envision yourself in your new home with Apartments.com. The place to find a place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
First of all, you just mentioned something. Brian Callahan, head coach of the Tennessee Titans, has been stripped of his play-calling duties 3 games into the season. Who stripped him of that? The general manager?
Brian just told me... as we were about to come back, I'm looking into this now a little bit more. Bo Hardegree is going to be taking over the play calling duties. He called plays for the Raiders in 2023, where the team went from 15.74 points per game and 268 yards per game to 22.8 and 294.7. So that upgrade. I'm not sure who stripped him of that yet, but the reporting is from Jim Wyatt. He's covered the Titans since 1999, now with Titans.com. So I'm sure he knows.
Right. All right. My what do you got was going to be Bruce Pearl stepping down yesterday as the head men's basketball coach at Auburn University. He's going to move into some sort of role in the athletic department. His son, Stephen Pearl, who has been on the Auburn staff for a few years, got the job, a 5-year contract to be the head coach at Auburn. Stephen Pearl played for his father at Tennessee and then, by the way, became a medical sales rep for a few years, then joined the staff. I'm not saying that he's not qualified. I have no idea. I just think that when you see these, you know, coaches retire, you know, borderline on the eve of, you know, the first practice, which is what, in a few weeks, it's for the purposes of making it difficult to hire anybody else so that they have to hire the guy that they want. Sometimes it's a longtime assistant. In this case, it's his son. Now, maybe Auburn's known this all along. Just, you know, one immediate observation. So, you know, many people think that Bruce Pearl, he's very, very conservative, super, super political in his social media, that he's going to run for Tommy Tuberville's open seat in Alabama. It's kind of funny, just the idea of Bruce Pearl, an East Coast guy. You know, he's become so Alabama that the thought is he could represent Alabama as a senator. He says nothing political is happening. He's not going to enter politics. But Bruce Pearl, the basketball coach, my God. And I know there was a lot of sketchiness, you know, pre-NIL, you know, pre-where we are now, salary cap, you know, plenty of investigations during Bruce Pearl's career. But just Bruce Pearl as a basketball coach, man, you know, he coached briefly with Gary Williams. He was kind of, well, when I say he coached with Gary Williams, he was mentored by the same guy that Gary Williams was mentored by, and I'm blanking on his name. I'm looking it up real quickly. Sorry about that. The guy that was at Iowa forever, you know, Tom Davis. Blanked on that. Tom Davis, longtime successful coach at Iowa. Bruce Pearl was, you know, mentored by, as was Gary Williams. Gary Williams forever listed Tom Davis as, you know, a huge influence on his career. Bruce Pearl, you know, ran a lot of the same stuff that Tom Davis did, that Gary did at Maryland, offensively, defensively. Hell of a coach. How about an overall record of 706 and 268, a 725 winning percentage as a head coach, which started at Southern Indiana. Then he got that opportunity at Wisconsin, Milwaukee. They had some tournament success, and then he got the job at Tennessee, where he was there for 7 years, and the last 12 at a second straight football school, right? Where truly, like, Tennessee basketball has mattered before. Auburn, other than Charles Barkley, I mean, basketball, Sonny Smith back in the 80s a little bit, but it's really been like, you know, football, spring football, and maybe, you know, three other sports before you got to men's basketball. And at Auburn, I mean, he's turned them, not in, they'll never be turned into a basketball school, but it became incredibly important. These games over the last several years, you know, hard to get tickets, sold out, incredible home environment. You know, over the last seven out of the last 8 years, round of 32, Final Four, they had a great team in the COVID year. They finished second in the SEC that year. They were 25-6. They were going to be a threat in that tournament. And then in 22, round of 32, round of 64, big upset, obviously, as they were a super high seed in 24. And then they made the Final Four last year and lost to Florida in the semifinals, in the Final Four. At Tennessee, he was in the tournament every single year, got to an Elite Eight, and three Sweet 16s. Just one hell of a basketball coach wherever he went. I did not see this coming. I didn't know that he was thinking about retiring. I know there's been a lot of conversation about what his next move would be. Would it be politics? And stay tuned on that. But he still had a ton of energy. And Auburn, I mean, they finished, they were the number one seed in the tournament. Auburn, they were ranked number one multiple times last year. They were that back in 2018, 2019. I think it's always kind of interesting when a guy goes to a clear football first school and wins big. Now, that happens in places, Texas, Ohio State, Oklahoma, it's happened at before. The resources are obviously there, but Auburn always seemed like that place where nobody's ever going to win at Auburn. And he did. Big. All right, we're done for the day. Chris Russell's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ever walked past a place for rent and wish you could just peek inside? Maybe even explore the layout? Envision the natural light streaming through the windows? Or plan where your vinyl record collection would go? At Apartments.com, you can. With tools like their 3D virtual tours, you can see the exact unit you'd be living in. Really envision yourself in your new home with Apartments.com. The place to find a place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.